If you live in a community of color in Massachusetts, chances are you also live in one of the state's most environmentally hazardous locations, and the burden grows when you add climate change to the mix. This morning, as we continue our series, Massachusetts Climate, Season of Change, WBUR's Shannon Dooling examines what's at stake for the state's most environmentally burdened communities.
The consequences of climate change, experts say, will disproportionately affect low-income communities and communities of color. Think poor air quality, increasing temperatures, and extreme weather. Those same communities often already live among environmental hazards like trash incinerators, fuel storage tanks, and the toxic remains that come with them.
We're standing on a site that used to be an industrial waste site.
Roseanne Bongiovanni is executive director of an environmental justice organization called Green Roots. She looks out at the Chelsea Creek.
So just on the other side of this beautiful park is Chelsea's neighborhood most impacted by environmental injustice. So it's the lowest income, most ethnically diverse, most densely populated neighborhood in the entire city of Chelsea, and the one that is located the closest to the environmental impacts.
Bongiovanni points to various industrial sites visible from the park, all situated along a 3-mile stretch of the creek.
That is the storage depot for 100% of the jet fuel that's used at Logan International Airport, 70 to 80% of the region's heating fuel, so that's all of New England, and road salt for 350 communities in the New England area.
And just down the way is the New England Produce Center, which, in order to supply produce to all of New England, requires a steady stream of trucks coming in and out of the facility, leaving behind emissions.
So you'll see in Chelsea that we provide a lot of regional benefits, but those burdens are on the backs, essentially, of Chelsea residents.
Almost 21% of Chelsea's residents live below the poverty line, and 60% of its residents identify as Hispanic or Latino. It's also one of 10 designated port areas, or DPAs, in the state. They're areas set aside to ensure industries dependent on waterways have a place to do business. Those industries may bring with them jobs, but they also bring pollutants. And as they're located at the water's edge, these sites up the stakes when it comes to sea level rise. A City of Chelsea flood map shows many of the facilities will be threatened by flooding by the year 2030. With projected sea level rises of anywhere between 6 and 15 feet, the risk for catastrophic failures at sites like those fuel storage tanks are high. Daniel Faber is director of the Northeastern University Environmental Justice Research Collaborative.
You're looking at the flooding of some very significant areas of Chelsea and Boston. And of course, you know, the impacts are going to be felt in some of the poorer segments that currently lack protections.
People talk a lot about communities of color, immigrant communities, low-income communities being, you know, hit first and worst.
Kalila Barnett was the longtime head of the Roxbury-based Alternatives for Community and Environment, or ACE. She's now working with the Green Justice Coalition. Barnett says given the historical injustices experienced in low-income communities of color, it shouldn't be a surprise that those communities are already at a disadvantage when it comes to preparing for and responding to a changing climate.
You know, we haven't had the same access to homeownership opportunities, haven't had the same access to quality education. And so if you overlay climate change, when there's a shock or a crisis, if people don't have stable lives already, then they are going to be even more behind and even more disrupted because they can't bounce back from that crisis.
These crises might come in the form of extreme weather events like prolonged heat waves, hurricanes, or snowstorms. And as climate change projections become more dire, preparing a community to be able to bounce back from a crisis has become a key part of the work being done in so-called environmental justice communities. The state defines these as places with either low average household incomes, communities of color, or communities where English may not be the primary language. Dr. Atiya Martin, Chief Resiliency Officer for the City of Boston, says having honest conversations is an important part of creating resilience in vulnerable communities.
Environmental justice is one of those issue areas where what we're really talking about is racism and classism, right? And so I think what's beautiful about resilience is it's the recognition that what's happening in communities on a day-to-day basis is what determines what's going to happen when there's a disaster.
There you go.
In a vacant lot near the Dorchester-Roxbury line, a dozen young people, ages 15 to 21, are learning how to regenerate new soil from land that's been tainted by metals and lead. It's a common obstacle in Dorchester, where old factories once released toxins into the air and ground. Collard greens and lettuce are now growing in raised garden beds, and the hope is to eventually plant fruit trees. A city report on preparing for climate change says Dorchester is especially vulnerable to heat exposure and increased stormwater flooding. And so this garden serves many purposes. It will help remove heat and pollution from the air. It can reduce stormwater runoff, and it will feed the community. 16-year-old Kima Green lives in Dorchester and says working on this garden, for her, embodies what it means to be resilient.
We have these bad things, and things really only get worse for us. But to take it back and make it ours and to be our sustainability in our own communities, it just shows our strength, like what it means to be a community of color working towards survival.
So on this day, in this garden, community members are working toward survival and planting a vision for the future. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Shannon Dooling.